This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Steelers are done. That was terrible. Wow. This is an awful game. Was that the last of Aaron Rodgers? Was the last game as Steelers head coach for Mike Tomlin? We'll get into some of that later on. A lot of great guests today. Good friend of mine, Jeff Schmidt, new to the show, basketball guy. I'll explain what and where and why he does what he does. We'll talk some hoops, local hoops. Mike Brohard will join me. CSU Rams back at it tonight against Fresno State. Brian Howell is going to be on the show today. The Buffs lost a big one, and literally a big one, Jordan Seaton. The whole show starts now.
The Broncos are in the playoffs, and we have the games and talk you need. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Seven to six for most of this game. Not six to seven. Seven to six for most of this game. And then the Houston Texans defense just said, you know what? We're taking the football away from Aaron Rodgers. And we're going to score 23 points. Not just defensively, but close. 23 points in the fourth quarter. They outscored. Houston outscored Pittsburgh 23 to nothing in the second half, in the fourth quarter. It was... I'll tell you, one of the things that crossed my brain watching Aaron Rodgers play. Two things. Number one, how did Peyton Manning survive? He couldn't move. Rodgers can't move. And Rodgers was always kind of somewhat mobile. Manning never was, so maybe that's he learned how to just be that good of a quarterback without ever really moving. Aaron Rodgers definitely used his legs at times. But Manning gets a lot of flack from me. I respect the hell out of his career. He's one of the greats. But that year, I've always kind of jokingly said he was playing on flat tires. But watching Aaron Rodgers, and even, okay, Phillip Rivers, that was a unique story, so I don't really want to go there. But watching older quarterbacks, and especially Rodgers last night, who's a Hall of Famer, I really had to take a step back and go, wow, the fact that Manning was not getting absolutely destroyed every single play in those playoffs when it means more, when defenses are tighter and they're better. It's actually pretty, it makes me appreciate and respect what Peyton Manning did even more. That was an ugly game. That was the kind of game that makes me think maybe Denver's defense will be the reason. Now, I've been on this Bo Nix train, and I'm not jumping off now. But that game last night tells you where the whole offense wins games, defense wins championships comes from. Because Houston's offense was C.J. Stroud, not good.
Fumbled twice on one play.
Yes, he fumbled twice. Yes. And the interception he threw when they were driving, and if he makes a quicker read to the flats to his running back, they get a first down. Instead, it was third down, and he just is under pressure and throws it up. I thought, wow, if the Steelers find a way, this is going to be one of the best defenses with one of the worst quarterback performances we've seen. C.J. Stroud, Michael, he didn't fumble it once. He didn't fumble it twice. He didn't fumble it three times. He didn't fumble it four times. He fumbled it five times in this game. And he lost two of them. And you're right. He fumbled it twice on one play.
Zero times in the regular season.
And Pittsburgh's defense is good. You know, they kept them in that game. But are they that good? C.J. Stroud looked awful. That's not the story of the game by any stretch. The story of the game is Houston's defense. I'll say it. They're the best defense in the NFL. You know what they did, Mike, that the Broncos don't do? Create turnovers that flip the football game.
CJ Stroud created a couple of those turnovers himself.
CJ Stroud. Talk about Houston's defense. Houston's defense.
You're right. Sorry, my brain went to the Bahamas.
Well, it was kind of like CJ Stroud was playing for Pittsburgh. So, okay. I'll give you the pass today. You're wearing your Broncos medallion today.
You put it around my neck, by the way. It was sitting on my desk.
I felt like you were worthy of wearing the Broncos medallion, so I put that around your neck today. Yes.
I fell asleep in the third quarter.
Shocker.
And they had 7 points. And then I woke up, and I'm like, what the hell happened? Yeah. The game was over. How did this offense suddenly show up?
I just kept thinking some miracle was going to happen and Aaron Rodgers is going to find DK Metcalf or something deep and it flips the game upside down. He had him deep once, but he's too slow. He's just too slow. And I got to say, I'm a fan of Aaron Rodgers. I haven't watched a ton of Pittsburgh games this year. Does he complain after literally every play? Like every negative play, Rodgers is looking around, cursing at his guys and... I love him. I think he's a unique character of the NFL, but I am glad that I don't have to see that every single Sunday because that would get frustrating. Let me read some text. Eastside Chris, Brady looks like we got a Boo Arenado still. He's in Arizona now. I haven't even seen that. Yeah, Eastside Chris, you're doing what Tanner does. You're talking baseball when I have 500 million things that are just keeping my attention right now. But we'll get there, Eastside Chris. I appreciate it. You throw it out and you see if I take it, and sometimes I don't. Faith texting in, that was the strangest game. Steelers offensive line served Tigers no justice at all. Travis, the new guy, all around, that was a bad game yesterday. The Steelers looked horrible last night. Yeah. And Houston's offense isn't good, but... they found ways. Big Hub, Steelers couldn't get anything going on offense. Does Tomlin need to be fired? I'm glad I don't have to be the guy to do that because I couldn't do it. I could not fire Mike Tomlin. There's no way.
I don't know if the Steelers organization can fire Mike Tomlin. They was 7 in a row, playoff games in a row. They haven't won, and he's still coaching the team.
I don't know.
I mean, they love the dude.
He just is different than all the other coaches. Mike, when you talk about Mike Tomlin, he gets a different discussion around his name than any other coach in the league. And who doesn't like Mike Tomlin? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
He reminds me of Omar Epps, and I love Omar Epps.
Because he looks like Omar Epps, kind of?
He does.
Yeah, he doesn't sound like Omar Epps, but he kind of looks like Omar Epps. Kind of.
He's got the look, though.
He's a good-looking dude. Mike Tomlin's a good-looking dude. Great face of any organization. So it'd be hard to fire him. Where do you go next, either? I mean, do you really fire Tomlin and go with Harbaugh? That would be wild, wouldn't it? Here's Aaron Rodgers. He's talking about Mike Tomlin, but he also threw in LeFleur in there as well, discussing why anybody would talk about firing these coaches. Here's Aaron Rodgers after the game.
I mean, this league has changed a lot in my 21 years. You know, when you hear a conversation about the Mike Tomlins of the world, Matt LaFleurs of the world, those are just two that kind of I've played for. And when I first got in the league, there wouldn't be conversation about whether those guys were on the hot seat. You know, but the way that the league is covered now and the way that there's snap decisions and the validity given to the, you know, the Twitter experts and all the, you know, experts on TV now who make it seem like they know what the hell they're talking about. To me, that's an absolute joke. And for either of those two guys to be on the hot seat is really apropos of where we're at as a society and a league, because obviously Matt's done a lot of great things in Green Bay and we had a lot of success. Mike T has had more success than damn near anybody in the league. for the last 19, 20 years. And more than that, though, when you have the right guy and the culture is right, you don't think about making a change. But there's a lot of pressure that comes from the outside, and obviously that sways decisions from time to time, but it's not how I would do things and not how the league used to be.
Now, to be fair, firing Mike Tomlin would not be a snap decision. He's been there for 400 years, it seems like. So it would not be just a one of the tip. It's not a Pete Carroll thing going on in Las Vegas. So I get what he's saying. If you have the right culture, you have the right guy. Here's the thing, though. Aaron Rodgers included. When have they had the right quarterback? And they've only drafted what since Ben Roethlisberger, they only drafted one quarterback in the first round. Do you know who that is, Michael?
Mason Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer?
Well, I guess because Rudolph wasn't he? He wasn't in the first round, was he?
I don't remember.
No, he was round three. It was Kenny Pickett in 2022.
Not a very good Pickett.
Pick number 20 at number one, round one. But outside of that, who have they drafted to build a franchise around? They drafted Chris Oladipo, however you say his name, the Kansas City dude now, that played for South Dakota State. They drafted, as you mentioned, Mason Rudolph, Joshua Dobbs, who was a fourth rounder. Landry Jones was a fourth rounder. Dennis Dixon out of Oregon was a fifth rounder.
I thought he was a punter.
And that's just going back to 2006. So I mean, you don't have the one key component that all these other teams seem to have, and that's a franchise quarterback. They're going up and picking up all these random guys year in and year out, and then they get an Aaron Rodgers, who was fine for the most part, but when he goes up against a defense that's nasty, that ain't going to work. And if you don't have an offensive line that's perfect, then you're in trouble.
So whose fault is it? Is it Mike Tomlin or is it Omar Khan who's been drafting for the Steelers?
Why do you have to be weird? Why do you have to be? What was that? Was that some kind of nerd thing? Was that kind of Star Wars thing?
Star Trek Wrath of Khan.
Why can't we talk about sports like human beings instead of bringing up Narnia or whatever for once on the show?
I should correct myself. Star Trek II.
I mean this. Nobody cares.
Everybody cares.
Star Trek ended in 1992. I don't think they even make movies or episodes anymore.
What are you talking about? There's a new series coming out in 2 days.
Nobody cares.
No. Starfleet Academy.
Oh my gosh. Please.
On Paramount Plus.
Nobody. I'm telling you, man. Well, and you have to do that. You have to throw that out, and it completely derails what I'm saying because I don't know what you're talking about. But yes, management. Who's making the decisions? But the problem is, Mike, and this is where we're going to have a fight. You keep winning 9 games. You're never going to draft a quarterback that's going to change your franchise when you keep winning 9 games. And Mike Tomlin's not going to lose. He's going to win 9 games. That's what he's going to do every single year. So you'll never draft a top 10 quarterback.
I think Aaron Rodgers is right that the league has gone very, very, what have you done for me now lately? Like, way too much, what have you done for me now? There's something
to
be said about
that's
a long-term Mike Tomlin type.
I like it, but he's not.
2 years ago, Mike Tomlin should have been fired.
Yeah, but his whole argument, you're saying you agree with it, sure, but when it pertains to the very team that he's on, it doesn't check out. Because Mike Tomlin has been there for 472 years, Faith texting in. I was supposed to say, I thought that was weird. I was like, what am I missing here? Who's Tigers? The Steelers O-line served Rodgers no justice at all. Also, do you think Aaron Rodgers is really married, LOL? In this day and age, it is wild that zero information has surfaced about her. Sounds like an Aaron thing to do. I have no reason to believe that Aaron Rodgers isn't married if he says he's married or someone says he's married. I don't know. He's a very complex individual.
He's a very private guy, too, so just let him live his life.
What would you like to see Aaron Rodgers do once he retires, if that was, in fact, his last game? Would you like him to ride off into the sunset? Would you like him to be on the media world, or get into some kind of coaching? Not that he's interested in any of those things. I just thought about it because when he talks, I like to listen.
I think he would probably be best off riding off into the sunset.
Into one of his dark cabins.
His personality type, he just seems like the type who wants to just disappear.
Well, maybe. Maybe so. Although, I don't know. There's part of me that thinks he does like the... He like loves to hate and hates to love the limelight.
Maybe he will invest in Jake Plummer's mushroom farm.
Thank you for that. All right, Jeff Schmidt going to join me in a moment here. Great new friend of the show. He's a basketball guy. He's got Schmidt Performance Basketball Training. And I want to talk about, obviously, his business and what he does. He's going to be doing some stuff with our Preps radio team. I'm excited, you know, as far as getting his message out there and such. But I'm also curious to, like, talk to him about trends we're seeing with the youths in basketball now, how that's changed for guys like Jeff who are training these young athletes, you know, and I can just go shoot it up to the from youth to the NBA. You see Steph Curry shooting threes all the time. Does that change how guys like Jeff are coaching their players? Now you're seeing a guy like Nikola Jokic who's changing the game by being a big man passer that sees, you know, three steps in front of everybody else. Is that something that Jeff looks at? So I'm going to talk to him about local basketball. I know he follows all the teams that I care about. We'll kind of get the rundown of what he's doing and how if you have kids that you want to get going in basketball. We'll get you some information on that as well. So I'm excited about that coming up. Mike Brohard will join us from CSURams.com. Colorado State back at it tonight against Fresno State. Kyle Jorgensen maybe a go tonight, but we'll get into that later on. And then Brian Howell will join me. The man that won the Buffalo Heart Award, which is a fan vote that goes to a fan award, fan-voted award that goes to a player. Jordan Seaton won that award. According to Brian Howell, he'll be the first player, the first winner of that award to ever move on and finish with a different team. So you vote for a guy like him because the fans love you and you embody everything that there is to know about being a Colorado Buffalo, and he's out the door. If that does not summarize the NIL world that we live in, I don't know what else does. It's the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We're Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
For Avalanche Games and Talk, keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
I had to tell him the story, Mike, how I Steinered it. That's our new phrase here on the whole show. Jeff, you're going to learn this. If you get something wrong, it's okay. We just say you Steinered it, because that's what happened to me when we're talking about, you know, a really good Colorado State basketball player that I like to watch in Brandon Recksteiner. How I missed the story. I knew he was the son of a wrestler. I assumed it was the wrestlers you see in singlets and the ear pad, the ear thingies, the ear guards. That's what. And then suddenly somebody said, "No, he's a WWE guy." And I said, "Recksteiner, Steiner," and then it all suddenly started to unwrap in my brain. Jeff Schmidt joining me, owner of Schmidt Performance Basketball Training. Got a chance to meet Jeff for a cup of coffee a few weeks ago, maybe before the holidays. We just started talking basketball. And, of course, I wanted to get you in here and talk basketball with you and maybe a few other things, man. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, we're going to be because you're a CSU guy, like as far as season tickets and all that stuff.
Yeah, we have season tickets.
And then where did you go to college again? Didn't you go to
– I went to Fresno State.
You went to Fresno State, so you joined the dark side. And are you torn tonight at all in this game,
no,
or how does that
no.
work for you?
You know, I live in Colorado now. I live in Fort Collins. So
you completely made that change.
It is my alma mater, so it's kind of split, but – you know, I live here now, and this is where my wife actually works at CSU. So
it makes it a bit easier.
Yeah, absolutely. I do have a really close friend who is on the staff at Fresno State. So, you know, I love him, but, you know, I'm a little split. But if I'm going to a CSU game, I am rooting for CSU.
But if you're just watching it on, I think it's on the Mount West Network tonight, if you're just watching the game, Who are you rooting for?
I just want to see a good game.
You just want to see a good game. That's a great political answer right there.
You know, if someone says, hey, Jeff, what's your NBA team? I don't really have an NBA team. I would like to watch good basketball. So that's kind of where I gravitate.
Well, you are a teacher of the game, but I'm guessing you're also a student of the game still because you're constantly absorbing basketball that maybe you're utilizing for what you're doing in your training every single day.
Absolutely. You know, that's a big part of it, too. You know, watching games and watching film, I try to push that on our players to do that. You'd be surprised on how many kids who play basketball don't really watch games. And I just think that's crazy. I think that's something that needs to be, you know, that's a low-hanging fruit that kids can jump in right away and start learning from by just watching.
Now, when you say they're not watching games, are they just watching clips now? Is that what it is? They just see highlights and stuff? They're not actually watching full games?
Maybe they're just looking at the scores. I really don't know. I mean, we're in the information age where they can get information quick and they can, you know, they can look at highlights. And I really don't know, to be honest.
It's a funny story. One of my neighbors, kid's out playing basketball. You know, he's got his shirt off. You know, he's doing that. He's a tough guy. And it was like during a commercial or something. I'm outside taking the dog to the bathroom or something. I'm like, hey, man, you big basketball guy? He's like, oh, yeah, obsessed. I'm like, who's your favorite team? He's like, the Mavericks. And I think it was last year. The Mavericks were in the play-in or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, so you're on the game. You're watching the game right now. And he's like, didn't even know they were playing. I was like, you're not a Mavericks fan. Okay, never mind. But just different with me.
Yes.
If I growing up, Nuggets were on. Don't talk to me, man.
Sure.
It's just I'm in this world right now, so it is kind of interesting to see.
They're fun to watch. Oh. You know, again, that's good basketball, and so I am a fan of the Nuggets, and like watch. I really love watching them play. You know, the Joker is a one of a kind player that you will never see again, and so you got to enjoy it while you can. Just kind of like when Michael Jordan was playing, you got to watch him. You got to go watch him play live because it's not going to last very long.
All right, so I'm on your website just making sure. I wanted to make sure I get everything spelled right, all that stuff. There's a picture of you sitting right next to Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan, man.
What take me through that moment. What was that day?
Well, I've been blessed. I've been lucky. A friend of mine who is a mentor, Dave Severns, used to coach at Jordan Camp. And so, you know, he finally got me in one year, and it was an amazing experience. I mean, it's like, you know, you meet your hero face to face. You shake his hand, you know. I it's not like I am best friends with the guy, but I was able and blessed to work his camp for 12 years.
Wow.
And so he did a camp in Santa Barbara, California, 700 kids, two sessions, full week and a half. And it was an amazing experience. And it kind of dropped a little bit when he became the owner of the Charlotte Hornets.
Sure.
And so he couldn't do as much in the camp as he used to, but he was there every day. You know, he was there, you know, meeting the kids and talking to the kids. He'd go play golf and come back, and he'd talk to the kids a little bit more each day. So just a great experience and to hear him and his stories and learn a little bit from him and the people were around him, you know, was just really a really cool thing.
I wanted to bring that up. I think I wanted to bring up last time. We just didn't get to it. Jeff Schmidt joining us in studio, in the Aloe Fiber Studios, owner of a Schmidt Performance Basketball Training. So what age is I want to get to this, and then I want to start talking, you know, get into some storylines surrounding basketball. But give me the age range of people that you're working with.
Well, anywhere, but, you know, I can work with anybody. I'm a teacher for 22 years, so I know how to teach, and I love teaching, and that's my passion. But third grade all the way to college, and we even have worked with some pros in the past. So, most of our clients, I would say, fall in the high school range.
Okay. Well, you've even had, like, CSU guys stop by once in a while. Say what's up.
Yeah, we, you know, right before COVID, you know, David Roddy would help us. Nick Bassett, Isaiah Stevens came in the gym quite a bit. I've worked with some of the girls on the CSU team as well in the past. So, yeah, it's you know, we're trying to connect to the community as much as we can. And I think with the way we do our philosophy of things, people really love working with us.
What is your kind of philosophy as far as, you know, because again, it's a mixed bag depending on the parents you talk to, because there's some parents that are like, hey, Jeff, I want my kid to be, I want Joker to pass him the ball at some point. I want him to be on the Nuggets. Or, hey, Jeff, I just want him to have fun. I want her to have fun. You know, it's not life or death. We just want him to have a different activity. I'm sure you kind of get all avenues there as far as guys that are diehard and maybe just some that are trying to just pick up the game of basketball.
It's really a research evidence-based approach. And so we like to try and make the our workouts and our practice look as much like the game as possible. So when you talk about Joker and Steph Curry and players like that who are very adaptable players, you can't create those types of players in a traditional environment. You know, cones aren't going to help you be a better player like Joker, you know? So we do a lot of things that we do is really how the game looks. And so trying to transfer as many skills to what the game looks like is kind of what we do. And so, you know, the environment we create is very important. And then how kids relate in that environment. And then we add constraints. So if a kid's needs to work on his weak hand, we'll add constraints to where they have to work on their weak hand and then score it that way. So it's a very learning, safe environment where it's competitive and very creative for the kids.
And you're getting, like I said, you're getting, you know, youngsters coming in that just want to learn the maybe the very beginning, the basics of basketball, but you're also getting guys that come to you, gals that come to you, that are getting into that high school world, maybe even early college scene, that are looking to advance their game so they can play at that next level too. So to me, it's like you're covering all bases there, the kids that want to achieve the most out of this game or just want to learn how to do it so they can, you know, not look, you know, too terrible when they're out on the floor.
No, absolutely. You know, it's adjustable. And so depending on the kid and where they're at, we meet them where they're at, and we can turn it up or turn it down depending on where the kid's at to get the most out of, you know, where, you know, what they need to do to be efficient in games, efficient on the court. So
do you see now with your development and training, I mean, you get in this, like you said, you're a teacher, you're a diehard basketball guy, you're a teacher, you mix that together and you open up a business like this. Mm-hmm. And it's from what I know from your reputation, by the way, talk to several of the coaches I talk to, all know Jeff Schmidt, man. So that's cool. They all like you, talk about you. That's great. They know you know your stuff. But at the same time, being able to go with certain trends in sports now. I mean, when Steph Curry stormed onto the scene, it was the three ball. And some people hated that and said, hey, this is ruining basketball because now we're teaching kids to just launch. We're not going into a lot of other fundamentals. Steph does a lot more than that, but if you're just like basic watching. Mm-hmm. And then you see guys like Joker. Okay, he's a passer, big man, all that stuff. Then you see Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Get to the rim. Worst case scenario, you're getting fouled. Best case, you get in easy and make two. How does that change your approach when training kids? Does trends in basketball change your approach at all?
Well, you know, being a evidence-based or research-based coach, I'm ahead of it, I think, as far as those trends go. I think, you know, we stay with what the NBA is doing, what the college is doing, but we try to do what's best for translating transferring skills to the basketball court. So, you know, again, you know, we try to play out of a principles-based approach. So, principles of play, you know, a lot of concepts instead of running plays. I think kids, they're not robotic when they run out of concepts compared to a team that runs a bunch of patterns that they have to memorize and they become robotic. You'll see it, especially at the younger ages, that kids are very robotic because they have to memorize the play or they have to be robotic and do the certain things instead of learning how to play. And I think that's kind of where our approach is, and that's kind of where we come from. And I think that's what's best for kids and really moving into the future of the game. You watch OKC, you watch the Celtics, you watch the list goes on and on. Denver Nuggets, they're running concepts. They are not running a lot of plays. So playbooks are shortening. Concepts are becoming more of the trend in the NBA and overseas and in Europe as well. And so we, you know, that's the way of the future. And we're practicing that way at Schmidt Performance.
I think that's fascinating because I was one of those kids for the longest time where it was just memorizing where I need to go, not necessarily looking for the openings that where you need to go creates. You're not looking for that stuff. You're just thinking, I got to get from point A to point B, now to point C. But in the middle of point B to point C, there's an opening here. Take it. I didn't learn that stuff until later in my high school career.
Right. You watch enough youth basketball, even in high school, you can see it, you know, where they have to run the play. The coaches run the play.
Yeah.
Execute the play.
Right.
The kids are trying to execute the play. There's a wide open layup. They don't take it.
Yeah.
They're trying to execute the play.
I got to go screen this guy over here. Yeah.
Coach is going to take me out if I don't do
it.
And that's, you know, that's not the way the game should be played. We need to make kids confident, and we need to make kids understand principles. So when they get on the court, they know exactly what to do, and they don't have to overthink things.
I love that. Man, that's eye-opening to me. I love that. You're sticking with us for a bit, right?
Absolutely.
Jeff? A couple more minutes here. 11:39, the time. We do need to take a break. I want to pick Jeff's brain about basketball. Let's talk CSU. Let's talk UNC. Sundance Wicks has got maybe something cooking there in Wyoming. Tad Boyle, not too bad either. So we'll talk college basketball. The Nuggets, how they're able to do what they're doing with everybody out. They might call Jeff up, actually. They're getting that many guys down. Jeff, you, me, Michael, what do you think? Run a little three-man game?
You know, my days of playing are over. I like being on the side.
I still think you might be able to take Michael back there one-on-one. I don't know. What do you think?
My days of playing were never.
Okay, yes, very good. Says the Star Wars guy. 40 minutes
Star
after.
Trek.
Yep. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKN.
I don't know, Jeff. You look like you're still in pretty good shape, man. You could get out there and throw the ball around a little bit.
Well, I have to move a little bit. I do hire younger guys to go out there and play defense against the players so I don't have to hurt myself. You know, I'm having surgery on Thursday.
Oh, no kidding.
It's because I'm getting old.
Man.
But it'll be good. It'll be good. It's a small procedure, but yeah.
But all pretty standard type stuff.
Listen, I have to be on the court, so I have to take care of myself. But, you know, playing days, you know.
No pickup games, anything like that? Or are we still able to do?
Used to. Yeah. You're not as much as I used to, but yeah.
I tried, what was it, like 7 years ago, a buddy of mine, he was still fit and playing basketball every day, and he's like, hey, you should come meet me at this church. We're doing like early morning basketball, like 5:30 in the morning. I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. I like to get up early. That's not a problem. Get there, and like, there's just firemen. They're all firemen. They're all in like ridiculous shape. And I go up and I'm like, here we go. Rain dance from the free throw line. Air ball. And I got, guy looks at me and he's like, we got to take better shots than that. We got to take smart shots. And I'm like,
you didn't know what you walked into.
I'm done here. I'm not ready for this kind of commitment on basketball. I like to play pickup, but when you get like the diehards in there, that's a little too much for me at this stage.
Yeah, fouling you when the game's on the line, hurting you. Yeah. No, I've had two knee surgeries, so in the same knee, I gotta be careful.
You gotta tone it down.
Yeah, you gotta tone it down.
Jeff Schmidt joining us, owner of Schmidt Performance Basketball Training. Love what you do, and I know we're gonna learn more and more about your message as our relationship grows here, but you're also a fan. I mean, you're
a big
basketball fan.
Basketball junkie.
You said you're not really a big, like, you don't have an NBA team. You just like to watch it. As far as the colleges, you being in Northern Colorado, I know you go to CSU games. You pay attention to a little bit of what Coach Smiley's doing at UNC. Am I right on this? Like, I feel like we're kind of spoiled here in this area. Even going down to Boulder with Tad Boyle, we have some really unique great coaches in this area. Ali for Oakmanish, Boyle.
Really good.
I mean, Sundance Wicks
Nico
up there
was
in Wyoming.
A great coach.
Nico's doing some interesting things there in Minnesota. But it's a very interesting pool of coaches here in this area.
You know, you got a good mixture of young coaches and veteran coaches, you know?
Yeah.
Coach Smiley's kind of in the middle. I wouldn't call him a new coach, but, you know, Tad Boyle's been doing it a long time, but he's been doing it locally. Ali's first year, you know, Coach Sundance, man, he is a really good coach, you know, and Coach Smiley's killing it at UNC. It's a really good competitive Really good basketball to watch around here, and the coaches are top notch. Some of them may or may not stay for very long, so yeah. You got to enjoy it.
Yeah, I think, and I love Smiley. I do a weekly podcast with him, but I've been saying this for years. The second he gets through that Big Sky Conference tournament and actually punches that ticket to the Big Dance, I would imagine. I don't know. I know his kids are sticking around and all that stuff, but man, he's going to have to. He'll get some job offers.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Coach Smiley. A little background. Coach Smiley played for a guy named Don Meyer, who's a Hall of Fame legendary coach. I had the opportunity to meet him in person. He did a coaching clinic in Fresno when I was coaching in Fresno.
No kidding.
And I did the same clinic. And I was in awe. Also, Bobby Hurley Sr. was there as well. So Bobby Hurley's a legendary Hall of Fame coach as well. Just an unbelievable experience. And I really got to, you know, get to know him a little bit in the two or three days he was there. And great wife and just a really humble, great person. And I can see where Coach Smiley gets his, you know, his knowledge of the game.
Yeah, he talks about him quite a bit, and Smiley actually wrote a book about him too. And I want to, like, that's on my list. I want to read. I'll pick it up. And I already told Smiley, I was like, I know it's not media professional. I'm having him sign it for me because I think it's going to be worth $1 million.
Yeah, I've read Don Meyer's book. It's just, you know,
is it good? Is it really good?
Very, very good.
I'll have to check that out
yes.
too. It is impressive. How about Ali Farokhmanesh? I mean, pretty decent start for him. They've obviously kind of run into some of these top tier teams, Utah State's in the Mountain West, but they ran into some injuries too. Memba just kind of getting back into the fold. Maybe we'll see Kyle Jorgensen tonight. But this isn't a unique team, different a bit from Nico Medved's. This is very much a three-point shooting team. They're kind of living and dying by that three ball.
Yeah, early they were shooting unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
As good as I've seen a college team shoot the ball, you know, after about 8-10 games. But, you know, a lot of these teams have had a lot of film on them and you know, tried to slow down what their strengths were in the beginning of the season. And, you know, you add some injuries to that. You know, you're going to go through these ups and downs in the season. And I think they're just trying to find their way. And it's a tough league, you know. And, you know, day in, day out, it's hard, especially on the road, to go and get wins. So, you know, I think they'll figure it out. They've got a great coaching staff. They have some really talented. They're deep. So they've been able to kind of, you know, keep the wheels going even with some injuries. But, you know, I think they'll figure it out as they get through the league.
Jeff, we'll take one more break and we'll wrap up on the other side. Love having you in here, man. Great job, by the way. You're doing fantastic.
Thanks.
Jeff Schmidt, owner of Schmidt Performance Basketball Training, here on The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. Mosquitoes aren't attacking yet, but the time will come. We'll be right back.
Broncos are in the playoffs, and we have the games and talk you need. Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
This is fun because there's a lot going on. There's a lot of interesting football conversations, but we are hot and heavy into the basketball stuff with the Nuggets somehow. What did I say they were, Mike? Did I say they were 4-3 without Joker? I figured it'd be the opposite, if not worse. Somehow, Jeff Schmidt joining us, by the way, owner of Schmidt Performance Basketball Training, just a knower of basketball. We connected. We quickly got to become friends, and so I'm going to be bringing Jeff on from time to time talking hoops with us. But aren't you amazed that the Nuggets, I mean, is that David Adelman? Is that coaching? Is that the difference we're seeing with this team staying afloat without one of the best players in the world?
It's definitely coaching. It could also be kind of a system, but you know, they're all pros at the end of the day, you know, and so it also gives other guys a chance to show they can play in the league. And so you see guys stepping up and getting their opportunities as well. And so, you know, it's a good organization. Good organizations win, and they find ways to win. You look at the Celtics. They don't have, you know, their star player.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so Jason Tatum. So they can still win. It just really, it's about executing. It's believing in the coaching and the system and then, you know, going out and showing what they can do, especially the guys that don't get as much playing time. But they have a pretty good bench this year compared to other years.
They're very deep. deep. They're back at it tonight. There's a now on top of the injuries, there's apparently a flu going through the locker room, too. So we'll see if they can survive this. Jeff, we got about a minute here. If you are sitting down to watch a basketball game and you have your choice, which one are you watching, NBA or college basketball?
NBA.
NBA. That's where I am, too.
I believe that the NBA stays on top of new trends, and it's more exciting to watch. I think the college game is exciting, especially when it comes to tournament time. But I think, you know, looking at the evidence-based training and things like that, I think they're just a little bit behind. I think it's very traditional. I think it's very, you know, hand-me-down from year after year rather than being open to learning new, you know, new strategies, new philosophies of how to play and be more effective.
Yeah, I'm right there with you too. I like to watch a good college basketball game, but NBA for me too. Jeff, before we leave, throw out that website, man, for people that they can check your website out. They've got kiddos, they're thinking about taking them to the next level when it comes to hooping.
Yeah, if anyone is interested to getting more information, coaches want to reach out, you can go right to my website. It's www.schmidtperformance.org, and you can kind of fill out a form on there and I can reach out to you.
All right, man, I've been on the website. Great work by you, and I'm excited to learn more and more about you as a guy, but also a basketball guy. So, Jeff, thanks for coming by today.
Brady, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Right, thank you. That was fun.
We'll talk to you very soon. All right, coming up next, Mike, we got top stories of the day. Mike Brohard will join us. Big one for Colorado State tonight. Josh Allen's history in the playoffs. The Wicked Witch of the West is gone. What does that mean for Buffalo Bills superstar against this Broncos team? And can the defense really be the ones to carry them all the way? It's the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. Top stories next.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.